Dr. Christian's office, Judy speaking. Oh, little Billy Franchi. Well, how was the wiener roast, Billy? Oh, you burned yourself. Oh, Bill.
The Vaseline Program. The only program in radio where the audience writes the scripts. Tonight, Cherry Valley, Illinois is in the spotlight with winner Dorothy C. Sheldon, author of the prize drama Playboy, starring Jean Herschel as Dr. Christian with Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price.
How did it happen, Billy? Oh, I see. You picked up the grill too soon. Painful, I can imagine. Oh, but Billy, you know the first aid for minor burns. That's it. Vaseline petroleum jelly. Head of the class, Billy. Yes, indeed. Your hand will be all healed before you know it. Why, in a study of burn treatment at the Henry Ford Hospital, where 84 local dressings were used, petroleum jelly promoted the quickest recoveries. Yes, and Vaseline petroleum jelly is the world's leading brand. Well, there's nothing better for household burns. And, Billy, I'm counting on you to give first aid when it's needed. Now, remember, just spread Vaseline petroleum jelly on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bandage firmly, but not tightly. Of course, if the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call the doctor. Yes. Well, make sure Mother has a tube or a jar of Vaseline petroleum jelly in the medicine chest right now. Now, remember, be prepared. Yes, Billy. Well, take care of yourself. Goodbye.
Now for our story, Playboy. And the opening scene takes place on a spring afternoon in Dr. Christian's office, where Judy Price, his secretary nurse, is talking over the telephone.
Dr. Christian is busy with a patient, but if you'll hold the line and... Oh, here he comes.
Then, according to you, there's nothing I can do about it?
Nothing that will change your situation, Pat. But there is something you can do, which would be a great relief to your friends.
Be careful of myself, I suppose.
Yes. Just because you aren't able to do what you wish for your life doesn't give you the right to throw it away.
Dr. Christian, Mrs. Sims wants to speak to you.
What? Oh, thank you, Judy. Hello. This is Dr. Christian.
I'll be running along then, Doctor. Thanks for everything.
Just a moment, Pat. Yes, I understand. Yes, but sometimes we have to let time do most of the healing. Tell us to concentrate on her nurse's aid work. It will help her to think about other people's troubles rather than her own. Yes. Yes, I'll come as soon as my office hours are over. Oh, that call could have waited a minute, Judy.
Oh, was your conference with Pat Blair that important?
If I could persuade him to stop doing things that put an unnecessary strain on his heart, it would be very important.
Dr. Christian, why do you bother about Pat? I suppose it was the same story this time.
The same story with the same ending.
In other words, he's as well as he'll ever be, and that isn't well enough to pass an Army medical exam. You told him that at least 20 times. You know, it's always someone else who pays for Pat's mistakes. That's what gets me.
Well, don't you think you are being a little bit too harsh, Judy?
Well, it's true enough. It was the same all through school. Pat stole watermelons, and the boys with him got caught. Pat told jokes in study hall, and somebody else was punished for laughing. Pat tried an experiment that wasn't in the science book and set his desk on fire, so the whole class was kept in.
Oh, those were just boys' pranks.
Well, now he's a man, and I'll bet he holds his job by charming someone else into doing the work. You remember how he got this famous heart trouble? You worked your head off to pull him through scarlet fever, and the minute your back was turned, he sneaked out to go to a game. So they got you up in the middle of the night to do it all over again.
Oh, other people aren't bearing all the consequences of that, Judy.
Well, maybe not, but being a handsome 4F in an otherwise manless town didn't bother him so much till lately. I suppose you're thinking it's awful of me to talk like this.
No, Judy, no. I think it may do you good to get it out of your system. Harboring grudges is a bad business.
Well, sometimes you can't help it. I was so pleased when Lily Abbott turned Pat down to marry a swell guy like Bob Sims. You know how Bob is. Kind of shy and stiff in a lot of ways, but fine inside. When he got good grades, he worked for them. When he played basketball, he worked for the team and not to make a star out of himself.
And he was one of the first boys from River's End to enlist and the first one to be decorated, I remember.
Yes, and he hadn't been overseas 2 months before Pat and Lily were running around together. Somebody wrote Bob about it, and he wrote Lily not to consider his feelings if she wanted a divorce. So now Bob's mother wants you to treat her daughter-in-law for worry and a guilty conscience. And Pat wants you to get him into uniform so people will forget.
Don't you think the person who wrote to Bob is a little to blame, too? And Bob himself for giving Lily no chance to explain? She hasn't seen Pat since the trouble began.
Well, they couldn't have told it unless there was something to tell. Ah, all right, Doctor, I've finished blowing off steam. Go ahead now and preach me a sermon on judge not that ye be not judged.
I've never been very fond of that text, Judy. It seems to me, judge not so you won't make mistakes too big to be mended would show more of a Christian spirit.
You're right, of course. I'm sorry if I sounded unkind. Are you going over to see Lily now?
Yes, and I can at least encourage her to hope that things will straighten out when Bob comes home.
Oh, I hope they will. But when Bob gets an idea in his head, it's next to impossible to get it out. Dr. Christian's office. Yes, he's right here.
Thank you. Hello? What? Yes, the hospital. Yes, I'll be there almost as soon as the patients. Judy, Pat Blair has had an accident.
Oh, well, your bag's all ready, Doctor. Here's your coat. How did it happen?
Elizabeth Elliott started across the street in front of him. Pat tried to drive between her and a big maple tree near the curb. Hit them both.
Mr. Elliott, that little blind woman? Oh, what a pity. Oh, I do hope she's not seriously injured.
Come now, Lily. The nurse's aide has no business crying on duty. If you're going to work here, you'll have to forget yourself and think about the patients.
I'm not thinking about myself, Doctor. It's Miss Elliott. She's always been so brave about her handicap, and now for this to happen to her.
Well, you just have to help her go on being brave till her broken hip mends. That's what you and I are here for, Lily.
But, Doctor, she's just given up. She keeps talking about never walking again till she convinces me instead of the other way around. And she's so alone in the world. She hasn't anyone who really belongs to her, not even a close friend.
Well, can't you do anything to fill that gap?
Oh, I try, but... Well, I never seem to say the right things. The worst part is when she talks about suing the Blairs. I'm sure if she does, the court will decide she shouldn't have tried to cross that street alone. Oh, it's all I can do to keep from saying so. I guess I'm just too stupid.
No, it's I that I'm the stupid one, Lily. You were working in the children's ward before I had you transferred to this corridor, weren't you?
Yes, but...
Now, you run along and wash your face while I see Miss Murray about transferring your back.
But what about Miss Elliott?
Oh, that's my job. Yours is to stir up one of those smiles the children like to look at. And they won't be bothering you about lawsuits, at least. I suppose you realize that you are a very lucky young man, Pat.
To be alive?
Yes, to be alive.
Long as the original jolt didn't kill me, I'll be all right. Is that it?
I'm not here to listen while you feel sorry about yourself, Pat. Too many other people need sympathy more. You can help me with one of them if you will.
Help you? Me?
Yes, you. I think you can help an old woman, Pat, who was winning one heart battle before illness came along to complicate things.
Well, what can I do about it?
Make her laugh, if you can. At least make her feel that this is a world where laughter is possible and that she's an important person in it. Now, don't say you can't. I've seen you do just that when much less depended upon it.
What's her name?
Elizabeth Elliott.
Are you crazy?
I don't think so.
Do you know why she's in the hospital?
I should know. I've been in charge of her case from the beginning.
And you want me? she'd rather have a rattlesnake turn loose in her room. The minute she sees me, she'll probably call the police.
Well, have you forgotten she's blind? And I doubt very much that she has heard your voice enough to recognize it.
You mean you'd shove the one person she has most reason to hate at her while she's laid up and can't help herself? If you want to hire a special nurse for her, I'll be glad to pay for her. Get Dad to pay it. My income doesn't go very far.
In these times, no amount of money can buy the kind of attention Miss Elliot needs. If it ever could.
I'm sorry, Doctor. I'm really sorry. But even in a good cause, I can't do a trick like that.
Very well. But I want you to answer one question, Pat. To yourself, not to me. Is it a trick you can't face or the sight of someone you've injured?
You don't mince any words, do you? All right, I'll try. But if she cans you as a doctor when she finds out, don't blame me.
Who's there?
Just a fellow sufferer. May I come in?
Of course.
They told me you were well enough to have visitors, so I thought I'd drop around. I've been wanting to meet you.
To meet me?
You're the lady who got run over, aren't you?
Oh, that's right, but why should you?
I just wanted to hear somebody else cuss at Blair. A reason or two for hating him myself.
Oh, he didn't run into you, too.
Not exactly. It's his fault I'm here, though. You're the lucky one. I heard Dr. Christian say you're going to recover completely.
Dr. Christian said that? Oh, but he wouldn't say anything else to another patient.
He said it to one of the nurses when he didn't know I was listening. Said nobody with your spunk would let a young fool in a motor car keep you down long.
Why, how nice of him. Won't you sit down, young man? There's a chair somewhere near my bed. And I don't believe you've told me your name.
It isn't one you've any reason to be fond of. My front handle is Pat, too. Dr. Christian was telling me you live alone and do everything for yourself. I'll be darned if I can see how you do it.
Oh, it's perfectly simple. You see, I have everything arranged, so I know just where it is.
Christian, did you really sick Pat Blair onto Miss Elliot?
Well, Judy, that's not just the way I'd put it, but if you mean did I ask him to make friends with her, yes.
That's what I thought. Do you know why most people are saying he did it?
No, Judy, I haven't heard.
Oh, it must be nice to be above listening to mean gossip. They say all he wants is to keep her from suing him.
Do you believe that, Judy?
No, I don't. Pat never went to that much trouble to save money in his life.
And Miss Elliot is getting better much faster than we dare to hope.
Oh, yes. The nurses say you can see the improvement in her from one day to the next. Doesn't seem possible that Pat's responsible for it.
All set for your surprise, Miss Lizzie? All right, then. Hold your hands. There. Take a good sniff of that.
Roses. And just like mine. Wherever did you find them?
Oh, I swiped them out of a garden when the owner wasn't home.
But I thought no one in Rivers End raises them except me.
That's right. You were the owner I swiped them from. Hope you don't mind too much.
Now, please don't try to fool me, Pat. I know my bushes wouldn't bloom like this without care.
What makes you think they haven't been cared for?
Oh, but everyone's so busy nowadays. It sounds like something Dr. Christian might do, but...
Bud is right. If the doctor put in 1 hour among those gentle little blossoms of yours, he wouldn't be able to operate for a week. You ought to teach your plants not to bite the hand that's feeding them.
Do you mean that you did it? Oh, Pat.
Oh, it was nothing, really. Say, Miss Lizzie, I haven't heard you mention revenge for a week. When are you going to start that lawsuit against the Blairs?
Oh, I don't know. I don't feel as much like it as I did.
Oh, look here. I know a few wires I might be able to pull. If you don't want all the trouble and expense of a suit, why don't you let me see what kind of a settlement I can get for you out of court?
Would you really? Oh, Pat, you don't know what a relief it would be. But I shouldn't let you.
There's nothing I'd like better. Remember, I have a reason of my own to be interested in this case.
Have you heard Mr. Blair on the subject of the money Pat had him pay over to Miss Elliott? He's still sure he could have won the case if it had ever come to court. And about Pat selling securities his mother left him so he could pay part of it himself?
Don't tell me you changed your mind about Pat this summer.
Oh, no. It's Pat who has changed.
Is Pat still taking care of Mrs. Sims' garden?
Yes. He's very careful to go there when Lily isn't home, though. And he goes to the hospital when Lily isn't on duty. She's probably the only person there except Miss Elliott herself who doesn't know all about Pat's visits.
Seems odd that Lily hasn't heard about them.
Well, nobody in River's End is very anxious to mention Pat to her. And working in the children's ward, she never sees Miss Elliott.
If I'd known that was why Pat wanted it, I might have changed my visit to Miss Elliott to the evening when he asked me. But it seemed best to take the cast off at the time of day when her general assistance would be highest.
Oh, she's as well as that?
We hope so. It may be difficult to persuade her to take the first step. She has a morbid fear of trying to walk and failing.
Well, if anyone can talk her into it, Pat can. Don't worry about his running into Lily, Dr. Christian. It probably won't happen. And if it does, it can't be anything more than just embarrassing.
There, Judy Price.
Why, Bob Sims, I thought you were in the South Pacific.
And I thought you were working in Dr. Christian's office, not at the hospital.
Well, I just came from there. Dr. Christian's here on a case, and he needed some things from the office. Well, how about you?
Well, I just came from there, too. I got my furlough at the last minute, so I didn't wire I was coming.
Oh.
I've been home and seen Mom.
Yes?
She said Lily is over here. I suppose you've heard about Lily and me. Mom says it's all over town.
Well, I heard you wrote poor Lily a letter that almost broke her heart. Oh, I know this is no way to talk to a returned hero, but if I had a wife like Lily... What are you staring at?
At Lil. She just walked across the hall at the top of the stairs.
Oh.
Judy, you know, I didn't think anyone could be as beautiful as she looked in my dreams down there. But she is. You know, she's even more beautiful.
Well, she's thin as a rail and has big shadows under her eyes from wondering if you'll ever make up with her. Hey, where was she going?
That way.
Down the South Corridor? Oh, Bob, are you sure? Good heavens, that's where Miss Elliott's room is. Come on, we've got to try to head her off.
Come on, Miss Lizzie. You know you can do it. Quit stalling. Make believe you're walking down the street with me, the way we'll be doing in a few days more.
Oh, I want to, Pat. So much I'm afraid. Now, please don't hurry me. If I'm not going to be able to walk, let me have 1 minute more to hope.
Oh, we've given you 1 minute more a dozen times already, Elizabeth. Why, your hip is as good as new.
Maybe you'd feel safer if the nurse helped you instead.
Oh, no, Pat. Don't leave me.
Well, get a move on, then. You know, Doctor, I don't believe the lady is scared at all. She just found out how easy it is to get other people to do her work for her. But if she thinks I'm going to battle her man-eating roses another year...
But, Dr. Christian, Miss Murray says to... Why, Pat Blair, what are you doing here?
Pat Blair?
Lily, shut up.
Yes, Lily, I'll come right away.
What did she mean? He isn't here, is he? Oh, it's dreadful not being able to see.
There's nobody here but you and me. Dr. Christian and a nurse and a crazy girl who doesn't know what she's saying. That's the truth. I'll swear to it.
You mean to say she doesn't know who you are? Well, of all the contempt
Lily,
of...
are you going to get out of here or do I have to throw you out?
Look here, Blair. I don't like anybody talking that way to my wife. Least of all you.
Well, I didn't like the way your wife was talking to me either. You can't teach her a little sense. And where did you come from?
Oh, Bob... Dr. Christian, I tried to stop them.
Oh, that's all right, Judy. It's not your fault. Bob, take Lily out into the hall. My patient is upset enough now. Pat, maybe you and Judy should go, too, while I talk to Elizabeth.
No, wait. Pat, what is your last name? You always made some excuse not to tell me. You are Pat Blair, aren't you?
I told you he was my worst enemy, too. Remember?
But what made you do all this?
Because he just loves to mess up other people's lives, that's why.
Oh, Lily.
No, I won't be quiet, Dr. Christian. It wasn't bad enough to stir up trouble between Bob and me. It wasn't enough to run over a poor old lady and almost kill her. You have to work yourself into her confidence.
Young lady, I don't know what you have against Pat, but you needn't think I'm going to hear my friend slandered in this outrageous fashion.
Glory be, Miss Lizzie, you did it. You walked 2 whole steps before I grabbed you. Did you see that, Doctor? She can walk.
Well, Elizabeth, are you satisfied now that your hip is as good as it ever was?
Satisfied? I was never so happy in my life.
Look, will somebody kindly tell me what this is all about?
And don't cry, Lil.
Oh, Bob, I didn't mean to let you down, but I'm such a terrible letter writer. I couldn't explain. Everyone kept saying how dangerous it was where you were and that so many of the boys wouldn't come home at all. When I was with Pat, he always said the Jap wasn't born that was smart enough to get you. Well, it seems so good to hear somebody say it.
Sure. Sure, honey, sure. I guess if I had any sense, I'd have known it was something like that. I don't know. Down in those islands, you kind of lose the sense you started out with. Besides, Pat was always such a lucky guy. But I'm still going to wring his neck for telling you to shut up.
Dr. Christian, do you remember that sermon you were going to preach me about not judging other people? I thought of another text for it.
What is it?
It's a poem we learned in school when we were all in the 4th grade, Pat and Bob and Lily and I. There's so much good in the worst of us, and so much bad in the best of us. It little behooves a few of us to talk about the rest of us.
Why, that's no text, Judy.
It isn't?
No, Judy. That's the whole sermon.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. Men, don't put up with dry scalp. If your hair is dry, unmanageable, if loose dandruff appears, if your scalp is tight and itchy, get right after those signs of dry scalp with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Yes, Vaseline Hair Tonic combats dry scalp, checks it easily, quickly, effectively. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements natural scalp oils, contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. 5 drops a day, that's all. 5 drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic applied with comb or directly on the hair checks dry scalp, tames stubborn hair, keeps it perfectly groomed. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo checks loose dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Remember, Vaseline Hair Tonic gives you the ideal care, both scalp and hair. More bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any other hair tonic in America. Vaseline Hair Tonic is one of the many Vaseline brand products made by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. And now here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. When we say at the beginning of this program that our audience writes our show, we mean it. Tonight's script came from a young lady named Dorothy C. Shelton, one of our enthusiastic listeners. She is regularly employed at the Granite Foundries Corporation in her hometown of Cherry Valley, Illinois. But she's wanted to write all her life, so she gives her spare time to trying. This is her first radio play, and I hope you all enjoy it. Next, Erling Silver by Robert C. Schimmel of Milton, Massachusetts. We invite you all to hear the Vaseline program next Wednesday evening, same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Relieve those chapped lips with a bit of Vaseline Lip Ice. With Vaseline Lip Ice, healing begins almost instantly. Priced at 10 and 25 cents at your drugstore. Remember, Vaseline Lip Ice. Remember, there's a new Dr. Christian prize play next Wednesday night called Sterling Silver. You'll love it. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.